Blog Talk Radio.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Daddy, working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
And that is the incomparable Lee Dorsey with my new intro to Carl's Cavern. So welcome, everyone, to our show. With me is my great buddy and high school classmate and college classmate, TC. Hey, TC, how you doing tonight?
Hello, Carl. I'm doing well, and hello, everybody who happens to be in. Yeah, I picked that out for Carl, that intro. I will take credit for that.
Oh, absolutely.
You wanted, you know, we had to have a song with a cavern, coal mine. We didn't get into gynecology to try to find a song, but we came up with that.
Well, listen, you know, nothing against Devo, but I prefer that version.
Oh,
I'm a big Lee Dorsey fan, so you
that
put
was
that one perfect
right there. Oh, hell yeah. Why would you even play the other?
Well, it's a good play. I like that one too, but no, this
okay.
one is this
I don't
one
think
is
I
perfect.
Ever heard it. Yep.
Oh,
good.
Okay, never mind. I'll get it to you later. Anyway, tonight what we're doing is a couple of weeks ago you did a show focusing on what was it? What year was it?
1973.
And I said to TC, you know what? I want to do one, but let's focus on our high school years. So that's what we're going to do tonight, and we're going to be doing songs that we listened to during high school. That's through 1972 to 1975. So I'm going to be magnanimous here, whatever. You understand the word. And give it over to TC. And TC, why don't you start us off?
I will start us off. And let me tell you, folks, right now, there was a big problem in picking songs for this show because everything I loved back then was 11 minutes long, full album side. The whole album, you have to flip over to listen to sex. I managed to squeeze some out, and these are all, you know, the funny thing, Carl, I was looking down through the list. I've seen every one of these bands that I'm playing tonight. So
nice.
Yeah. I saw 7 out of the 9 I saw during this time, and the other 2 I saw them later, you know. So, okay, but I am starting it off with song from Brain Cell Surgery, Emerson, Lake & Palmer. This was 1974. They're off their 4th studio album. This is called The Sheriff.
Whoops, sorry. I forgot
Sheriff.
I was doing this. There we go.
Thank you.
Good God, Keith Emerson is such a beast. Holy.
All three of them. Keith Emerson,
yeah.
Greg Lake, his voice, Carl Palmer on drums. Just incredible band. I got to see them in Buffalo War Memorial Auditorium on their Works Volume 1 tour, 1977, I think it was. But do you know where, okay, we listened, that's off Brain Cell and Surgery. Do you know where that term comes from?
If I'm not mistaken, that's William Burroughs, isn't it?
Nope, it was actually in a Dr. John song that I played not too long ago, Right Place, Wrong Time. And they had some other title for the album, and then they had some other title for the album, and they dug that up. But, I mean, I would have loved to play Carnival 9 third try. But, like I said, two of the longest songs, but...
That's the problem with prog rock, man. You know, finding stuff that's less, 4 or 5 minutes long and not 11 or 12, not an easy thing to do.
I could have put on Tubular Bells and came back like 38 minutes later, you know.
Exactly. Well, we used to do that at the damn radio station, didn't we?
Well, I mean, like, I wanted to have a Yes song. Because Yes was really influential to me. I couldn't, there wasn't anything, I would have had chopped off one other song. I've read very well quantity. But a lot of bands I'm playing tonight, I picked this song because, my next one that and we've talked about it, and it's off an album that every other song is like 9-10 minutes long. So, okay, go ahead. You're next.
Okay, so. Next song is by Harry Nilsson. Now, I was already a big Nilsson fan before high school. I love The Point. Coconut is one of my favorite songs of all time, let alone Spaceman, and also his work with Randy Newman and such. I just already knew them. But then he got really odd after, 1972, 73. And there was Pussycats was an album he did with John Lennon. And then he heard his vocal cords. And he came back with an album called Do It on Monday. Do It on Monday. And he had already done a movie called Son of Dracula. He worked with Richard Perry as the orchestrator. And Richard Perry hooked up with him again on this album for this particular song, which is very, it'd be very interesting what your reaction is to this. This is Salmon Falls off the Do It on Monday album, 1974, for Harry Nilsson.
Drop of rain falls a million times its own length, to crash upon its floor, and with its pain cause life to start anew. Each second fights its way magically through your entire life, like a salmon traveling upstream to its final destination, and with its goal in sight, life ends to start anew. Each man not until his kind is past will he, and not until you die will each second of your life conclude, and not until it crashes against the earth will a drop of rain have fallen, not until all men are dead you die, and life will start anew, and you will have traveled a million times your own time, and magically, salmon
And that is Harry Nilsson, and it is gorgeous. That piece is just beautiful. What do you think?
The orchestral music in that's incredible. I mean, if you played that for someone, you say, guess who this was? 100 out of 100 wouldn't have any idea.
No, absolutely not. Hey. And I don't know who that steel drum player is, but holy shit.
Yeah. What year did that come out?
That actually came out in 1975. We were both seniors.
Yep. I love that name. Duet on Monday.
Yeah. He was quite a character. I mean, he got himself in a lot of trouble over the years, man. Drank way too
sure
much
did.
with John Lennon and Richard Pryor and such. Oh, but you know what? What a talent, and gone way too soon.
Yep, for sure. Okay, man.
Well, I think it's your turn now, my friend. What do you got for
us? I believe it is. And we're going to hear a track off Jethro Tull's Minstrel in the Gallery from 1975, their eighth studio album. This song Carl and I were talking about, I told him what I was doing. He goes, well, I wouldn't do that one, but I like it. And it's short.
Oh,
it's
a great tune.
That's my other problem with Jethro Tull. Find a short enough song for our show. And, this was Minstrel in the Gallery was the last album for bassist Jeffrey Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last one he played on. Well, anyways, this is One White Duck by Jethro Tull.
One, two, three. There's a haze on the skyline to wish me on my way, and there's a note on the telephone. Some roses on a tree. and the motorway stretching right out to us all. As I pull on my old wings, one wire duck on your wall, isn't it just too damn real? One wire duck on your wall. You're right on your violin, strung upon your bow, and I'll float on your melody, sing your chorus soft and low. There's a picture of you postcard, the thing that I call. You can see from the fireplace, one quiet knock on your wall. Isn't it just too damn real? One quiet knock on your wall.
I was actually mouthing the words and conducting that as I was listening to it. That's how much I love that band.
Yeah, that the whole title is One White Duck / 0 to the 10th power equals nothing at all. That was the last part of that song. But yeah, it's, you know, and that's, I think that song really showcases what a balladeer that Ian Anderson was. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he it was prog rock meets heavy metal meets contemporary meets Celtic, even, you know.
Absolutely, English and Celtic for sure.
Yeah, they always gave that vibe of like the 15th century. Like the minstrels and everything. So,
absolutely.
I love that. That whole album was
And the other thing, too, is just the, his wordplay and his lyrics. There's no one else that comes up with those words, how he puts them together and what he says with them. I mean, the man's one of the great lyricists of all time. Seriously.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
So it's my turn now, and I want to make a point here before we go on. You and I went to high school together, but we really, in high school, it wasn't until college that we really got together. We would run across each other, but we had different – you have different cliques in high school. And I didn't even have a clique in high school. I had been in a group, a community theater group, with a bunch of people who were about 10 years older than I was, in their mid-20s, late-20s. And I would hang out with Live Ben Skoy and Jay Paterio and all those people, and they introduced me to music that I had never heard of, you know, that's where this comes from. And this is a song by Brian Eno off his 1974 album, Here Come the Warm Jets, and this is called Blank Frank, and you can't get much different from Jethro Tull than this song, and I'll tell you a little bit about it when we get back.
Blank Frank, it is the messenger of your doom and your destruction.
I'll just say that was not my mother's favorite song whenever she heard it when I played it loud. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that.
I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't. We talked about Brian Eno on the phone, you know, and I never really enjoyed his music, but boy, the guy was, my God, well, his contribution to rock and roll, to music overall has just been incredible.
Well, let's just go through that a little bit. I wanted to do something from Discreet Music, which was his first ambient music, which was music for background music, is the way he put it. But they're 20-minute long songs. Can't do that. Same with Music for Airports, which came out in 78. But, you know, just to give you an idea who he worked with as a producer, Robert Fripp, Harold Budd, David Bowie, David Byrne, John Cale, Talking Heads, Devo, Laurie Anderson, you know, just an amazing amount of work he's done. And what he did as far as music, he was also part of Roxy Music. But his electronic work and everything he did just absolutely changed music, no question.
Sure. Sure, and he had an influence on a lot of the bands I'm playing tonight, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So very good, Carl.
Back to you, sir.
It is. And this next song is an album that will forever be in my top 20 of all time. And that's Supertramp's Crime of the Century, which came out in 1974. It was their third studio album. Roger Hodgson, who wrote the song, he was inspired by All the World's a Stage and All the Men Are Merely Players from As You Like It. That, he took that phrase and wrote a song. But it was the first album that, Crime of the Century's first album that John Helliwell was on. This guy, he changed the band. He really did. He's a multi-instrumentalist and just phenomenal. But enough me talking. This is kind of a deep cut from the album because everybody knows School and Bloody Well Right and everything off that album. But this one is called If Everyone Was Listening.
Here we go.
Kind of soft in the beginning.
There it is.
Yeah, it's there.
The actors and jesters are here. The stage is in darkness and clear. We're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain whose place. We were going to be, for we dreamed a lot and we schemed a lot and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart. Oh.
What is your costume today? And who are the props in your play? You're acting a part which you thought from the start was an honest one. Well, how do you be an actor indeed? Go relearn your life.
Nice.
Yeah, great
song.
For me,
Supertramp will always be Breakfast in America, that album. But
yeah.
But that's a great album, too. And great group.
Crime of the Century is fantastic. Yep. Yepper, man. And look, it took them. They're still not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Yeah. You believe it?
Well, neither is Jethro Tull.
No. Oh, I know.
Neither is Nielsen.
I know. Run DMC is, though.
Yeah.
Stop right now. Let's stop right now.
Exactly.
This show's going to get very angry if we don't stop right now. So,
But tell us a little more about why you like Supertramp so much.
Oh,
just
boy. If you get a chance, listen to or watch their 1979 Paris live. It came out as a live album, double live album. Fantastic. Then I don't know how I did it, where it came from, but then I found the actual video. I got the DVD of it. And the sound on it for 1979 was incredible. But, that Paris show was just fantastic. That's one of the best live albums ever. So, if you're not familiar with Supertramp and Wannabe, start there.
Mm-hmm. Now,
we're
going to get to another live album, which I think is like the best live album, my choice. But that's okay. We'll get there later.
All right.
So what do you think about a guy by the name of Brian Prothrow? And I'll just tell you a little bit of his influences, okay? So, you know, if you take a look at his influences. He loved Elvis Presley, Big Bill Brunzi, Brownie McGee, Dave Brubeck, J.S. Bach, and George Formby. Now, try to put that all together. And what do you get? You get one of the most unusual artists you've ever heard. Now, he never made it big in the U.S. His first album was 1974. Unfortunately, his two follow-ups to that were 76 and 77. Couldn't use those. But if you want an artist to listen to who basically gives you whiplash on a nine-minute song, try Pickup. You'll just, like, shake your head. What the hell was that? But this is the song that made him. This is a wonderful song called Pinball. Of course, I was a pinball player, and I love pinball. But this is a great song that you probably do not know. So check it out. Pinball by Brian Prothrow.
And I've run out of pale ale, and I feel like I'm in jail, and my music bores me again. and I've been on the pinball, and I no longer know it all. And they say that you never know when you're insane. Got fleas in the bedroom, got flies in the bathroom, and the cat just finished off the bread. So I walk over Soho, and I read about Monroe, and I wonder was she really what they said. Got a call from a good friend, come on down for the weekend. Didn't know if I could spare the time. I knew a woman who was crazy about a boy who was lazy, but it didn't work out cause they just couldn't make it rhyme. You turned your back on the party game. Mama, if I keep my head clean, will I really have a good dream? Or will I wake up in confusion just the
think of that, TC.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know why he wasn't more popular over here. Maybe it was marketing. I don't know what it was. But he certainly was in the UK, and he still is. So he just out an album in 2020. He put out another album.
Right, and he's also an actor. And he's primarily a stage actor. But do you know he's the only artist that we're doing tonight that was actually in a superhero movie?
Yep, I'm reading that.
Yeah, he was the co-pilot of the plane that Superman saved in the original Superman with Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
And another thing, too, he did a song actually with Ian Anderson. And it's an original composition with lyrics by William Shakespeare. Okay, that's how unusual this man is. Does not surprise me he didn't make it here in the U.S. because he's just not normal.
Say, yeah. All right. This one you just played, the one you just played is the title track off Pinball album 1974. Okay, he had albums in 74, 75, 76, two in 76, and another one in 2018. 42 years between studio albums.
Yeah. But he was busy during that time. He did lots of theater work.
I know he was. And it wasn't like, oh, shit, the bank account's down. Time to go make another album.
Exactly.
Good choice, though. All right.
Okay, so back to you, sir.
I got a little personal story about this one. It was...
Okay, go for it.
Okay, I'm thinking spring, summer of 1973. The end of my sophomore year, a friend I grew up with, he was a senior. So he was either graduating or about to graduate. We went up to Niagara Falls Convention Center, which, you know, a two-hour drive north, and to see Bad Company, okay? And the headline band came out, Kansas. Who the fuck are these guys? My God, they came out, and that guy came out and started playing that electric violin. It's like, holy shit. And that's what we're going to hear tonight from me. It's off their third studio album called Mask, which is a phenomenal album. Came out in 1975. And this is Mysteries and Mayhem by Kansas. And by the way, I don't know if you stayed the whole show to watch Bad Company or not. I don't remember anything about that part. Kansas was just, they took over my head. Okay, Mysteries and Mayhem, Kansas.
It's going.
There it is. Thank you.
there's nothing that needs to be said about how great Kansas is, period.
Oh, fantastic band. I know I've told that story before, and I'm going to tell it real quick for anybody who doesn't know it, that when they were starting out, they opened for Aerosmith, and they heard that Steven Tyler hates when local bands get too much, or, you know, the opening band gets too much attention or plays too long, and he'll literally go over and unplug them. Anyways, they're playing in Topeka, their hometown crowd, and the crowd was loving them, and they knew what was going on, so the Kansas road crew ran dummy cords over to where Steven Tyler was standing. So when he was getting pissed off, he goes to start unplugging the band, and they just kept playing. Like, fuck you.
Great. Perfect. For them. Good for them.
Yeah, they had a really excellent there's an excellent documentary about them out, and they said, you know, like, all right, here you got the bands in L.A., you got the bands in New York. We're from Kansas. You know, how hard do you think it was for us to get noticed? And they're just, my God, the energy of that band. And I just saw them, by the way, okay, real quick, I just saw them last year, their pandemic-delayed 45th anniversary tour, saw them in Shays Buffalo. And at the end, we'll talk about my YouTube channel, but I got about 8 songs I shot of theirs on there. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, great band, and for me, it'll always be Point of No Return, but nonetheless, great band. Seriously. So we're going to move on to someone I'm sure most of our listeners do not know. It's an artist by the name of Jimmy Spiras. He started out in the folk, and then in 1972 came out with an album, Isle of You. And this is actually from his second album, The Dragon is Dancing. But this, this one's from Isle of You, excuse me. He worked in a carnival. He was a carny. And that's what this song is basically about, and that's what we're going to go with. And this one, it's called Lost in the Midway by Jimmy Spiras.
He grew up in a carnival.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he grew up in a carnival. His parents were carnies.
Yeah.
And you remember his dad?
Yeah, anyway, we're going to restart it, and then I got a little more to tell you about him. Okay, so this is Lost in the Midway by Jimmy Spiras.
The Midway is blue, wine. forever it seems.
You know, such a simple song, beautiful piano accompaniment, lovely voice, and just a really tragic life. Died at the age of 32 in a motorcycle accident caused by a drunk driver. He had just recorded his comeback album. This is in the 80s. But the other thing I want to say about Jimmy Spears is you probably know his younger sister a lot better. And that would be Penelope Spears, who is a film director and did all the Decline of the Western Civilization punk rock documentaries. Also did a film called Suburbia, but that's his younger sister. But to me, Jimmy Spears, as far as a musician and a songwriter, is really, really top-notch. So what did you think of that song? I think this was one of the people you didn't know.
It is, but after I, worked it up, I can't even think of what I want to say, but when I got it ready for the studio, I listened to it, and I listened to a couple other songs by him, too, and yeah, he's a hell of a songwriter, kind of an under-the-radar type guy, but fantastic, just tragic how he died so young. And yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you said he worked in a carnival, but he
right.
actually grew up in one.
Right, worked in the carnival. Right.
Yeah, his parents,
he grew
his
up
parents
as a...
were carnies, and then, the father actually got stabbed by a disgruntled carny, stabbed to death. And then the mother sold the carnival, and they moved out to Los Angeles. She became a bartender. But her nickname was Gypsy. Everybody called her Gypsy. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So now it's on to you, sir. What do you got for us?
It certainly is, and we're going to go to Pink Floyd. Now, in 1972, they put out an album called Obscured by Clouds, which was their seventh album. It was actually a soundtrack for a French film that was to translate to The Valley, La Vallée, and it was the second song that Roger Waters ever wrote that addressed the death of his father during World War II. First one was Corporal Clegg on Saucer Full of Secrets. But Carl and I agree, this is our last great Pink Floyd album before commercialism took over. But this is Free Four, the first song off Obscured by Clouds.
One, two, three, four. The memories of a man in his old age are the deeds of a man in his prime. You shuffle in the gloom of the sick room and talk to yourself as you die. And life is a short, warm moment, and death is a long, cold rest. You get your chance to try in the twinkling of an eye, 80 years with luck or even less. But mind how you go, and I can tell you, 'cause I know you may find it hard to get off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever told you this, TC, but the first album I ever bought was Piper's At the Gates of Dawn. And my mother threw it away twice. My mother threw it away twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What an album. What an album.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and just, you know, it's, you know what that song, reminds me of the Kinks.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound
and
like
we'll
it could
get to the
Kinks
later.
Song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound
There's
like
no
it
doubt about
could
it.
Be a Kinks? It's that rhythm, the melody of everything.
Also, what they're talking about, too, World War II. And I mean, they're Kinks songs, Mr. Churchill says, and so many songs from Arthur about World War II.
Both those
no
albums
question.
Kind of celebrated England's involvement in World War II. Both those bands did.
Yeah,
you know, they had a lot of stuff about it. You know, I mean, of course, all the way through the wall. You know, I mean, that's all about, you know, military fighting. You know, the wars.
Mm-hmm.
So okay.
Well, you and I, I'll just say we are of the same thought in terms of Pink Floyd. You start with Piper's At the Gates of Dawn, you go to metal, and then after that, it gets way too commercial for us. That's not to say that you know any of their later albums aren't good. It's just we were more into the psychedelic that they did.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know,
did you say Umaguma?
Oh, no, I didn't say Umaguma, but let's say it together.
Umaguma.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't leave that one out, man.
Oh, absolutely not. Relics, you know, I mean, some great albums.
Yeah, Relics, sure.
So we're going to go on to... I'm not going to do a show like this without doing Frank Zappa. But anytime I do Frank Zappa, I have to give a nod to a specific gentleman that introduced me to Frank Zappa and one other artist that we're going to listen to today, and that's the Kinks. And so anytime I play a song by Frank Zappa, it's dedicated to Jerry O'Wallaby. God bless him. He had a head shop right down from our store, and first place I ever got stoned. Wonderful, wonderful music. Great man. This is for you, Jerry. This is Sam Bergino from One Size Fits All by Frank Zappa, 1974.
Yeah.
So Frank Zappa also introduced me to so many people, and the person who's singing on the outro is Johnny Guitar Watson. That's the reason
yep.
I got into Johnny Guitar Watson. So I don't know what you want to say about Frank Zappa that hasn't been said already, DC, but go ahead.
Well, if you're standing in front of me with a stack of 20 Zappa albums and One Size Fits All was in that stack, I'm taking it from you. That was one of my favorite. I mean, it's if I had to rank them, I'd put One Size Fits All definitely in the top 10. That album pretty well. I mean, you just did that song.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is if you have someone who doesn't know Zappa and you want to introduce them, that's the album to introduce them to Zappa.
Yeah, I agree. You know, if you don't want to start them off with the Watch Out Where the Huskies Go and the commercial shit, you know, that would be the album right there. Inca Roads?
Yeah.
Huh. Man, when that starts
yeah.
playing, you know you got something. Inca Roads, we did, I think it was on our Zappa show on Carl's Cabin where you played Evelyn, a modified dog.
Yes.
And I played Pajama People. So
right.
We've covered this album a little bit.
And there's also Sofa 1 and 2 on that album, too. That album is just, there isn't a bad song on that album. It's just so killer.
Yeah, definitely.
So fucking killer.
You know, Can't Afford No Shoes. Another
mm-hmm.
song off that album. Just amazing.
All right, so it's off to you then, sir. Let's keep going here.
This is probably, I'd say, the original prog rock band, at least for me. I mean, back when my brother Greg was playing music for me, the Moody Blues. I had to get a song by them on there. And this is off their 1972 album, The Seventh Sojourn, which was their eighth studio album. And other songs off that album were Isn't Life Strange, just a singer in a rock and roll band. But anyways, this is You and Me, kind of a deep cut. Go right ahead, buddy.
Okay. It says Allison on the on the scale.
No, you and me, number six.
I got 11T.
Well, yeah, it'd be for you and me.
No, it says Allison on it. I'm going to play it. Maybe it's
Hold
just
on,
misnumbered.
Wait. I can look. Oh. I got two.
Oh, I got me and you.
That's not it.
I got me and you?
Yeah, me and you.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Well, the Moody Blues, you can't go wrong with them. Not at all.
No. And that was another band that there's so many songs I wanted to play, but they're like 12 minutes long. And, you know, I mean, just can't beat them. I always wish I would have seen them at Red Rocks. Of course, you know, like two of the original members, Graham Edge and Ray, the flute player, they both passed away. But those guys are still out touring. At least like Justin Hayward's doing his own tour and John Lodge is doing his own tour, but still around. But they were just an incredible. Just the orchestration in their songs is just amazing. And they love playing live with symphony orchestras.
And that's something to be said for them. I don't know why, but I never really connected with them. You know, I mean, Days of Future Past, you know, you're absolutely right about the orchestrations, but I guess I was looking for something a little more edgy or something like that, or
yeah,
something. I don't know, but I do appreciate them very, very much. So you got to put them on. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, man. So at that time of my life, I was a prog rock guy. I really was. Yeah. And that's why I'm choosing these songs.
I do know.
Yeah. I mean, I was really into prog rock, and that's why you're here. That's mostly what you're hearing from me tonight. So, and it was easy, because the easy part about it was what I could eliminate right away. Because we did the 1973 show, and those are all popular songs that everybody knew. Yeah, but we weren't going that way tonight, were we, Carl?
No. No, and that's one of the reasons I kind of cheated on the next one, because I actually picked something from a 1976 album from this artist, because her 1975 was so popular that I thought I would do something a little different. We all know what I think of Janis Ian. 17 came out in 1975, and I was 17 years old. Hit me like a ton of fucking bricks. And I had liked her before, because I remember Society's Child and the Leonard Bernstein special and such, and I would always watch that and anything with Leonard Bernstein when I was growing up. But the one thing I think we forget about Janis is what, as a vocalist, how wonderful her voice was. And that's why I picked this particular song. As I said, I cheated a little bit. This is off the 76 album, Aftertones. And this is called Bell of the Blues.
I'm the bell of the blues, and it's easy to see. If I win or I lose, it's all one to me. I was born on a shelf in the rare books library. I reside by myself with my books and my TV. I'm an old age pension for the thoughts and life's routine. Anybody for nostalgia, put a record on and see. Here's a memory of olden days and a heartbreak grown cold. All that glitters isn't gold. You get no love for free. Go down silently. society. I promised them roses in an 8x10 of me. But when the party's over, they're all too glad to leave. Their children sing the sorrow. It's the same old routine. They beg and they borrow someone else's misery. It's a at least an easy one for me. Give me my tomorrows. You can have my
guitar tag at the end is a nod to her original producer, Shadow Morton, which she used that on Society's Child and a number of songs on that album. And so you will hear that tag a lot throughout her song. So I just wanted to mention that. What do you think of that woman's voice?
You know, when I was recording that, getting it ready for the studio, I'm sitting there thinking Billie Holiday, Etta James, Janice Ian. You know, I mean, lounge style singing.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to that song, you think of at 17, and was it the same person? You know, I mean, it's just great.
That's how you know, the thing is, the artists that I like tend to go through lots of journeys. Musical journeys, and they do different stylisms, and they adapt themselves so well to that. That's one of the reasons
very
I'll
versatile.
Follow an artist, and she's amazing. We did a song of hers on the women's thing with Rachel that blew you guys away that she just recorded 2 years ago, and unfortunately, she now has notes on her vocal cords. She cannot sing anymore. She cannot tour. Which is a shame. I'm sure she's still writing songs, though, for people.
Yeah, good. Beautiful.
No, but amazing voice. And yeah. So we're on to you now. So what do we got?
All right. You know the band Mountain from their song Mississippi Queen. Everybody knows Mississippi Queen. They actually started in 1969. They're considered one of the earliest influences leading up to the heavy metal genre, at least, you know, the naming of the heavy metal genre. But they had one of the most incredible guitar players ever, Leslie West.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just phenomenal. And the song I picked is off their 1974 album. This is their fourth album called Avalanche. And this is an instrumental called Allison. And this is where you're going to see how good Leslie West is as a guitar player. Go ahead, Carl.
And here we go. Allison by Mountain and Leslie West.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That finger picking in the midsection is just like, wow.
Yeah. I would love to see a video of that.
Yeah, agreed.
I'd love to see how fast his hands are moving. My God. But yeah, he was just such a phenomenal. And, that, you know, that's acoustic. So you can imagine how he was, you know, electric guitar, just phenomenal. Well, you know, I'm from Mississippi Queen and other songs. But, yeah, Mountain was a band that really, unfortunately, they were kind of a one-hit wonder as far as that went. But they had a faithful following. I actually saw them, I mentioned Ronnie Williams earlier. That year, I took a Bluebird bus from Bradford to Williamsport. Where he's going to college at Williamsport Community College. I went over there to see Mountain. It was at Williamsport Community College, so I got to see him. And I didn't. I kicked myself in the ass. I didn't appreciate Leslie West that much back then. You know, I was a fucked up underage drunk kid at a rock concert. You know. Today I'd be mesmerized.
Well, I think we all were during that time.
Yeah.
I certainly was. No question.
There you go.
All right. Well,
okay,
we're getting on to some music. We may just run over a little. So we're going to move a little bit here. I don't have to say much about the Kinks. I will say that this song that you're going to listen to, which is Nobody Gives, it's off Preservation Act 2, which was, they had a bunch of rock operas that they did during the period of 72 to 75. And this song is so prescient, it's scary. And it's called Nobody Gives. And we'll just leave it at that and then talk about it afterwards.
I can't understand why everybody's quarreling. Nobody gives in case they lose faith. Everybody's guilty, and everybody's innocent, and the fact of it is, nobody gives anymore. It is.
Nobody who wrote songs like Ray Davies. Nobody. And I got to give a shout out to the guitar work by Dave, too, on that cut.
Yes.
Dave just absolutely kills it. What do you think of that song?
That's an incredible song by them. That's always been one that I've loved. I'm glad you picked it. But they must have been up to about 9 or 10 albums by the time that came out. I'm guessing.
Oh, easily. 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 I mean, that's the one thing about them. You know, they were banned from the U.S. for a number of years, and so they basically turned their eyes to England and to where they grew up and really talked about England. And just an amazing, amazing songwriter. Of course, he's now Sir Ray Davies, and an amazing band, and all the different styles that they did. So let's move on from here and go on to your next song, sir.
Okay. I know you're not a big Rush fan. I've always been. We grew up in the Western New York market. They're from Toronto, so we heard Rush right from the beginning.
Constantly.
The song we're going to hear, excuse me, I'm eating something. The song we're going to hear is off their second studio album, which is called Fly By Night. Their first studio album was self-titled. But this is the first Rush album with Neil Peart. Their debut album, they had a different drummer. So this is where Neil Peart stepped in and turned them into the band they were. This is Anthem by Rush off the Fly By Night album, 1975.
If I can, I'd like to dedicate that song to my former workmate, Steve Hesselbacher, who was a huge Rush fan. And when Neil Peart passed away, literally called him and he was crying. So, you know,
yeah.
Steve, that one's for you.
There was just an article in one of the Pittsburgh media just a couple weeks ago about this guy who lives around here who's about my age who had seen Rush 108 times.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, he had sticks signed by Neil Peart. They'd give him sticks every show. You know, they got to know him. You know, he's front row all the time. He kind of, hey, I think we've seen this guy before, you know. But, yeah, when we were talking on the phone the other day, you and I, about Neil Peart, he played drums 8 hours a day. He said, hey, you guys go to work for 8 hours a day. This is my job. So, but, yeah, keep it moving, Carl, so we can get everything in.
Okay, so we're going to go on with, okay, one of your favorite groups I know is The Who. And I know
yes.
you love that band. And I really appreciate that band too. But I'm going to tell you something. When you talk about individuals in that band, I friggin' love John Entwistle. John Entwistle, for sure. Just one of the most incredible bass players ever. Also, had one of the most unusual senses of humor I've ever seen in a band and a person. This was from his 1973 solo album, Rigor Mortis Sets In. And I had played Do the Dangle before on one of our songs. So we're doing another one, and this one features his bass playing. This is called Big Black Cadillac.
Come on, I'm going over a piss in a minute.
Black Cat.
And that is big black Cadillac.
Tell you, I just, you know, up, of course, up until the end of it, that song is so 1950s rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just, you just feel the influence, you know, from it.
Well, that whole album is 1950s. That whole album is
1950s. Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is, critically, they hated it. They hated that album, critically. And I fucking love that album. I think it's his best album, by far.
Yeah, yep. I have to agree. So I've heard all this stuff, you know, being the big Who fan I am, but I forgot about that song. That was great.
It's a lot of fun, too. It shows you his sense of humor.
It's a fun, too. That's why I said it's got that, it's got that 1950s fun rock and roll feel to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, we got two more songs to go. This is our last set. We will be going into a little bit of overtime. We will not do housekeeping today. We will do housekeeping tomorrow. So go ahead, PC.
Okay, my last song. You know, I'm always talking about my brother Greg, what an influence he's been to me. He's 6 years older than me and graduated in 69, so I got all that great music from him. But this next band, I think, is the first one that wasn't Greg influenced to me. 1972. This is their debut self-titled album. It's called Blue Oyster Cult. And the song is the song we're going to listen to is kind of a deep cut because it Cities on Flame with Rock and Roll, Stairway to the Stars, then came The Last Days of May, which are all big Blue Oyster Cult songs came off that album. But we're going to hear Before the Kiss, A Red Cap by Blue Oyster Cult.
Here we go. Before the Kiss.
We're back home at Johnny Bar. The blonde girl.
Great song. Just to let people know, we will be going into overtime. So if you want to hear my last song, you'll need to wait a little while on that and come back. But
stop in tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Let's mention that real quick. Tomorrow night on Rock This Town Radio TC, The Father, The Son, and Chocolate Bunny Turds. Be a great Easter show. Okay.
Okay, there you go. And we'll do that tomorrow. But we're going to end up, well, first, talk about the Blue Oyster Cult, man.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. They were the first at Rich Stadium in Buffalo. They were the first band I ever saw with a laser show, for one thing. But go ahead to your song. We all know Blue Oyster Cult, but that was a nice deep cut from their first album.
Yeah,
did you like it?
I appreciate them. I wasn't a big fan at the time, but over the years, I do appreciate them very, very much.
Yeah.
And good solid band, no question about it.
Yes.
No question about it. So we're going to end up with my last song, and you know, one thing that we've been missing is a little bit of Southern rock. And I got to give props up to Jay Paterio on this, because Jay was the person who introduced me to this band. One of the great Southern rock bands, Bill Payne, is one of the great piano players of all time. And let's not forget Lowell George. And we're talking about Little Feat. So what do you think of Little Feat?
Let them roll, buddy. I almost picked this song.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I mean, you can't get much better than Little Feat. We're going to listen to Fat Man in the Bathtub by Little Feat, and then we'll just talk a little bit right after that and hit the road. So here we go, Fat Man in the Bathtub by Little Feat.
Check.
And that is Little Feat. What really surprises me about that band, and I didn't know it at the time, was that Lowell George, right before Little Feat, played with Zappa.
Yeah.
For a short period
yes,
of time.
He did. Yes,
you
he
know,
did.
And the difference in stylism, holy shit, seriously.
You know, another funny thing about them, we call them Southern Rock. They're from Los Angeles.
I know.
But,
I know, but they're Southern Rock all the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They are.
They got that bayou sound to it, which they love that sound. That's why they developed it. But like I said, I saw them in 1978 before, you know, about a year before Lowell George died. I saw them in a theater in Denver, Colorado, with Tower of Power horn section backing them up.
God damn.
And we talked earlier about Supertramp Paris live album, how I love that album. Waiting for Columbus, Little Feat's live album is just, that's got to be like in the top five. Everybody, whoever listened to a live album,
well,
just
well,
amazing.
For me, that's the best live album I've ever heard, period.
Yeah.
You know, and I need to check out that Supertramp album because I've never heard all of it. I've heard some cuts from it.
Yeah.
But God bless, man. Listen, DC, yep. It has been absolutely fantastic to relive our high school years. Holy shit.
Man, I'll tell you what.
50 years ago, just, motherfucker.
Yeah. And, you know, every one of those songs you heard tonight, folks, were ones that we, you know, they just bring back some kind of memories. Just, you know, just the memory of listening to them or just the memory of where you were when you first heard it or whatever. But,
you know, and the I mean, other thing I can tell you about my cuts, all of them, I had all the albums, every album. Seriously.
There.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had them all too. I had them all of mine. And plus I realized I'd seen every one of those bands live. So, because I was thinking, you know, I just saw Kansas. I wonder who else I saw. And I looked, I said, oh, everybody. There you go, man.
Absolutely.
But,
all right, folks. Well, listen, as I said, TC, great show. Thanks for coming on with me.
Yeah.
And for those that's listening, really appreciate you coming on and listening. And we'll see you tomorrow at TC's show about chocolate buddies and Jesus to teenage years and all that sort of good stuff. There you go.
Yeah. 8 o'clock tomorrow on the Deviant Legion Network. And also check out my YouTube channel, TCC77. Like I said about Kansas earlier, I saw them last year and shot a lot of great video of them that I have on my channel, TCC77. All right, buddy. I guess I'll be talking
all
to you
right,
tomorrow.
Well, absolutely. And we'll go through housekeeping tomorrow during TC's show. So listen, again, thanks for listening, and good night to you. Good night.
Good night to you. I'm gonna clean off the studio, by the way. Okay, good night.
All right, you do that. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, good night, everyone.
Good night.